Our reading this evening is taken from Romans 5, and I'm reading verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen.
Well, as you know, on Wednesday evenings we are making our way through the book of Romans. And we've had a great blessing. If you haven't come yet, come along. We'd be delighted to welcome you. I can assure you it's been a blessing for us all. So I thought on the Sunday evenings I'd look at the book of Romans and see if we can share together this theme of redemption and love that God has for us through his word. Now, as we know, Paul wrote a letter to the Romans at a particular time when the church was expanding. A group of Christians who were meeting in Rome, the capital city of the day, a place where there would be great persecution for those early believers. And yet they came together in their homes and they read the word that God had given to them through the Apostle Paul. Paul had written this letter from Corinth, and now one day he was hoping that he would be able to come to Rome himself, which he eventually did, of course, where he was eventually martyred for his faith. And the whole of the epistle is centered around not only his own experience of God's grace, but the certainty that in the wondrous love of God, he has met with us in our need, in our sin, and has redeemed and brought us into a relationship of grace with our Heavenly Father. As Dr. Andrew Allerton said on Wednesday night, it is all of love. It is all of the God who created all things. But at the heart of the universe is a God who is a Father, who seeks to redeem those who are lost, to bring back to himself those who had wandered far. A God who is holy and righteous and cannot look upon sin sent his only Son into the world to be the means of our salvation and to bring us back into a relationship with God. Peace with God. What does peace mean in this troubled world in which we are part? There's little peace around us there. We see that in the world around us. It is dark and an evil place. And peace is at a premium for many people. Many people live in war-torn areas of the world where there is devastation and death nearly every day. When we think of what's been happening in Ukraine and Russia and the tremendous loss of life that has been because of the evil and paranoia of one man who does not understand the ways of peace and reconciliation. We can say that peace is at a premium in our world. While we seek peace, often it is not forthcoming. And that can be true in our own lives as well. When concerns and anxieties might be heavy upon our hearts, where do we find peace? Where do we find the confidence to face each new day? Well, Paul says it here, that we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have gained access by faith and into this grace in which we now stand. That's a wonderful declaration of confidence that the apostle had. He was justified by faith, and he stood now in peace before God. And it's something that had restored that relationship with God the Father through him, and he knew he was at peace. And so while we pray for peace in the world and continue to pray that God will intercede and bring a peace to our world, we look out into a world that has never known peace, really, When we look over the history of humanity, we can see the rebelliousness of sin, the way in which wars have been declared, millions of lives have been lost, the terrible arrogance of those rulers who have risen and died over the ages that have been. Man has not been at peace with his brother, and certainly not here today as far as the world is concerned. That's why, as a church, we pray for peace. We work for peace in our communities and in our world. But Paul is speaking here of his own experience. He's got peace now with Jesus Christ as his Saviour and Lord. And it is something that has restored a lost relationship between him and God. He was the arch persecutor of the church. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was at war with God in a sense, totally criticizing and persecuting the early church. He stood with confidence over the stoning of Stephen. And it was on the road to Damascus that the Lord appeared to him. And from that moment on, he knew and understood that Jesus had come, that the promised Messiah had come, and that the hope that was in his heart for the coming of the Messiah had been fulfilled. He knew and understood now. And what he writes here in his other epistles, in his exposition of that very truth in his life and in our lives as well. We have peace with God tonight because we trust in Jesus. We have peace tonight because we know whatever happens in the world around us, we have found peace in him. Peace in the midst of the storms of life, when difficulties and the challenges come, and we look at that later in the message. But peace now because we are no longer at war with God. We are no longer aliens to God. We are those who have been loved. And when we accept Christ into our lives, we can know that peace. There's a Welsh hymn, Rwy mor hedd na oer y byd amdano, a nefol hedd a daith trwy ddwyfol oes. Pan fydd o'r don ar fenaid gwan yn curo, mae'n dawel gyda'r Iesu wrth y groes. The storm is roaring around me. I have peace with Jesus at the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus died to do that wonderful act of reconciliation. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. And then we can know a peace in our hearts. A peace that the world doesn't understand, but a peace and confidence you and I can understand. Because now we know that God loves us, and God has given us by faith that wonderful assurance that even though our sins be as scarlet, they are as white as snow. Even though we fail and fall many times, quimpo gamwaith yr un bai, we have the absolute certainty that because we have found Christ, because we have believed in him, the great transaction's done. And there are some things that God cannot do, and he cannot go back on his promise. We have faith, we have confidence, we have peace through Jesus Christ and his atoning death on Calvary. And when we trust and believe in him, dear friends, sometimes you feel a failure, I feel a failure many times. But we are children of God now. And nothing, Paul says, can separate us from that love, not height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. So, dear friends, be sure of that. Some people say to me, oh, I'm not good enough to come to chapel. Well, I say, neither am I. None of us are good enough. No. Do you know, he's made us good. He's taken us from the depths of our sin and has placed us on that pinnacle of truth and certainty that we are the children of God. And we have that confidence now. God is not at war with you anymore. No. He's not rebellious to you anymore. Because you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You belong to him by faith. That's what Paul is saying. We are justified by faith. That was the call of Martin Luther at the time of the Protestant Reformation, when he looked upon a church that had become corrupt and had gone away from the teachings of the Word of God, who was selling salvation. If you put money in the box, then there'll be a soul that will go to heaven. All sorts of things that were contrary. And this man, he went on his knees before God, and he found a peace when he read these words tonight. Therefore, we have been justified, not through works, not through being good people. It's important to be good people, but through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know that tonight, dear friends? Be confident in it. And then Paul goes on to say, does he not? Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Paul now says we have access into grace. That means you don't fall in and out of God's favour. You live in a constant hope. Not a hope, an atmosphere, if you like, that's a better word, of grace. It is like the air around you. You breathe it in. It is part of your confidence. We are saved by the amazing grace of God. We really are. Because we have that confidence and that hope. I remember many years ago meeting with somebody, and they used to go to one of the chapels here in Llanelli, but not very often. I shouldn't say that, really. But she had an invitation to a garden party in Buckingham Palace. Oh, it's a fuss, yeah? Well, she's going to meet the Queen. Oh, I don't think she met the Queen. Well, she didn't realise that there are thousands of people who go to this. But she showed me, look what I've got, she said. I'm going to see the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh. Wow. And she was in town looking for a new rig out to go and a new hat and things. And she was telling me all this. I wasn't at all interested, really. But there it was. She was so excited and so thrilled that she was going to see the Queen. And you know, she would never really see the Queen. A fleeting glance she'd probably have of the Queen, yeah. But, wow, what? It was the pinnacle of my thought. I said, what a joyous hope we have. We have access to the Father through the Son. We have a personal relationship with a God who created the ends of the earth. We have a Saviour who is at our side 24/7. We have been redeemed by grace. What is grace? It is unmerited favour upon you, unmerited love, unconditional love that is poured upon us because we are the children of God now. And Paul stood in that grace and he proclaimed it to the very ends of his days. And we rejoice now, he says, in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. It meant for him that not only was he standing in the grace of God, not only was he confident in the salvation that is his, but in the grace he was so thrilled to have received. Amazing grace. What is grace? As I said, it is the love of God, but it is more than that. It is entering into the intentions of God for you and for me. It's wonderful when we think about it. The God who has reached out to us in love and has given us that confidence. And all through the ministry of Jesus, we see that grace worked out. In the way he dealt with sinners and those on the periphery of society, he challenged the emptiness of the religious people of the day. He was someone who couldn't pass by. Couldn't pass by when he saw a need. I mentioned before, one of the most wonderful stories in the New Testament for me is a simple story. There's only a few verses that tells us about it. It is Jesus and the widow of Nain, you know. You know, he was passing by with his disciples and there was a funeral going on. It was the son of a widow. And he was on the pyre. They were making their way to the burial. And Jesus stopped for a moment. He could have just stopped in respect, couldn't he? He just could have bowed his head and let the funeral go by. But you know, when he saw the tears of that woman, you know, immediately grace started to flow from him. And he went up and he touched the stretcher which the boy was being carried and restored that boy to her. Now, Luke records it for us because Luke is the doctor and I can understand why he did it. But for me, that's amazing grace. That encapsulates everything about the God we worship. The God who goes the extra mile. The God who looks to a distant land and welcomes a wayward boy home. The God who will not allow even the enmity and evil of the religiosity of his day to have the final word. But what he says to the Pharisees and scribes, that this, in my life, is what is the Father's intention. And there's no confines to that love. All we need to is to come to it. And receive it, and then to be in the atmosphere of grace, and to know that we stand in the grace of God. It is John Newton who said, when we've been here 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less time to sing God's praise than when we first began. Now think of those words, and I was thinking of them this week. When we've been here 10,000 years, well, we won't be here in 10,000 years, obviously. Bright shining as the sun might be here, we don't know. I've no less time to sing God's grace than when I first began. What is Newton saying there? In those words, it is indescribable, really, to fully describe the fullness of God's grace. It's as if Newton is looking for words to express what was in his heart.
And he expresses it in a sort of a way that is really revealing to us the extent of his knowledge of grace, having been delivered from being a man of sin, the great blasphemer, to being a man who is convinced now that he was saved by the grace of God, and that if he is here 10,000 years from now, he'd still be singing God's praise. Yeah? Isn't that amazing? I think it's wonderful. I really think it is. And it's surely our hope and our joy. Whatever you've done, whatever you're doing now, whatever the future thing in your life, you might get things wrong. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it sometimes. Prone to leave the God of love. Take my heart, that's the plea, and seal it to thy courts above. Dear friends, not only do we know the peace of God, we are standing in the grace of God. And then Paul goes on to speak about something, the consequences of this faith and this assurance. Because he speaks now of that effect in the midst of suffering. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Suffering, big question, isn't it? A really big question. Why, Lord? Why I am in the midst of this pain and uncertainty about my health? Why have I lost those I have loved? Why have things gone wrong in my life? But you know what Paul says? It produces perseverance. It is when we truly trust God, not when the sun is shining, but when the clouds are over us, is that we really come to understand what the grace of God is all about. We really begin to understand the depths of his care for his love, because we are not alone in the storm. Because here we learn that which God gives to us, the perseverance to overcome, to know that we are never alone, and to be sure of that grace that will sustain us and keep us. Now we look through a glass darkly, then we shall see face to face. It was Matheson, George Matheson, who wrote that hymn, O love that wilt not let me go, I trace the rainbow through the rain. And know the promise is not vain, the door shall tearless be. Three of his daughters drowned in a boating accident, and he was able to speak those words, O love that wilt not let me go. He won't let you go. It's in those times of darkness and bereavement and illness that he is more close to you than ever before. It is those times of disappointment and frustration, and perhaps when we feel angry and dismayed that the world is around us, is the place it is, or things have happened in our lives that have marred our relationship with others, and we come to a situation and we pray and we know that the amazing grace of God will sustain us and lead us in the right way. Brings perseverance and hope. A hope for a glorious tomorrow. A hope that God has given to us. A hope that doesn't disappoint us. Do you think God is going to disappoint you? No, he's not. He will see you through. And that hope never disappoints us, because God pours out his love into your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when you become a believer, you're a vessel of the Holy Spirit, and God's presence is within you. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to overcome. I don't want to be flippant tonight. I know many of you have been through dark times. But I'm sure that you, like me, are able to say, it is in the darkest hours that God became more real and more profound, and the love and care embraced us and coached us into the God of all eternity. That's the God of the Bible. That's the one who gives us hope through the faith that we have. So, dear friends, we stand in the knowledge of the peace of God. We stand in the grace of God. We know the suffering produces hope, but that love has been proved to us. We are now safe and secure. And Paul says these words, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? We are safe and secure in the Christ who has loved us. God has reconciled us to the Jesus has reconciled us to the Father forever. How much more? How much more then? How much more do we need to know? Because we are now safe and secure in him. A security that the world cannot give you,
Whatever the world offers you is not going to be able to fulfill its promise. Who in the world keeps their promises? Now, I don't want to be cynical tonight, but we had an election last week, and we read the manifestos. It's a wonderful future now. Oh, have you read them to you? It's going to be absolutely wonderful. And it's the same after every election, isn't it? Of course it is. The manifestos have been out there. We are going to do this. Now, I don't want to be criticise our politicians. Many of them, most of them, I'd say, are good, honest men and women. But sometimes you know, and I know, that the promises they make are not going to be, they'll be impossible to be fulfilled in a term of 4 years. But they want to favour. They want to ensure they get your vote, do they? You know. Think of that for a moment. We know that in the end it's fallible. You know, people rely on their riches and their wealth. We are seeing that in America in the prosperity gospel churches. We're now losing members by their thousands because people are beginning to see through them. But ministers have massive salaries and mansions to live in private. I said this before, I'm not going to say it again. But that's beginning to find itself in a situation where it's beginning to decay. People are beginning to see through it. The empty promises. Liberal theology that says, oh, love God and do as you like. No. We follow the ways of Christ. We follow his word. We have that confidence in Christ. We may be strangers in the world, but we are citizens of heaven. We have a confidence that is grounded in what Christ has done for us. And no longer are we those who are alien to God. Our future is certain. It is grounded in what God has accomplished for us. Now, on Wednesday night, in the introduction to the film, I thought to myself, Andrew Ollerton was speaking very simply about the love of God. And all of a sudden, it struck me, well, it is. It's not complicated. It's a matter of you and I making a step of faith. Even if we're unsure, even if we have doubts in the city, just say, okay, Lord, I don't understand everything. I'm not a great theologian, but am I putting my faith and trust in Christ and his saving work upon the cross? And in those moments, the whole of God's love is poured upon the sinner who becomes a saint. And from that moment on, that relationship with God grows and matures. Until we come, as Paul says, to the fullness that is in Christ Jesus. We will never reach the fullness that is in him. But as we grow in faith and knowledge, so the word of God becomes more real, so the presence of Jesus and his love becomes far more beautiful, and the confidence that we have that we are the children of God increases until that day when we will be in his presence in eternity. That's the joy, that's the confidence, that's the security that he had. We've been justified by his blood. And we rejoice that we are reconciled to the Father through his love and through his care. So, dear friends, at the close of this day, I'd like to leave you with that message. I'd like to leave it, and I hope it will find a place in your hearts tonight. Remember, first of all, that you are loved. Remember that you are held by the grace of God, that you are safe in Christ today, tomorrow, and forever. No confines, no conditions other than come to me and believe and trust in him. And in trusting in Jesus, knowing his love, what a difference that can make in your life and mine and the life of the world around us. For we have peace now, a peace that will see us through to eternity, a peace that is grounded in that which Christ has fulfilled with us. God, it will never be at war with you again. You are his child by faith. You have entered into the promises. And we stand in the amazing grace of God. Coming back to Newton again. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Indeed, amazing grace.